Why are businesses like HelloVet choosing Apple products and services?
So we started the business 2 years ago. We had a few people who were used to PCs, and this was their first foray into Macs. But it's been super smooth getting everyone onto those devices, and everyone seems really, really happy.
Find out how Mac can help you run and grow your business at apple.co/HelloVet.
Get a free bet when you bet £5 every week of the Premier League season and a big boost every day. That's Ladisfaction from Ladbrokes. And for extra Ladisfaction, here's the T's and C's garage style.
18 plus, 1st of September to 24th of May. Opt-in weekly. Selected Premier League markets. Match one free bet per week. Values vary. Restrictions and T&Cs apply. Daily odds boosts. T&Cs on ladbrokes.com. Gambleaware.org.
Here's the truth about AI. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/UK/AI for people.
All right. Welcome back to the Dose Adjustment Podcast. We're talking about men's sexual wellness.
Really hard topic for a lot of men to talk about. It's age, it's diet, it's all these things, and it is extremely prevalent.
If it's bigger than just take Viagra or take this or take that.
We're talking about functional human performance, and sex is a huge part of that.
The information provided in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only, and it does not establish a physician-patient or pharmacist-patient relationship. The opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are their own and do not constitute medical advice. This content is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Always consult with a licensed healthcare provider in your area before making any changes to your personal healthcare regimen or acting on any medical information shared in this podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Dose Adjustment Podcast, Episode 2. My name is Amir Rahimi, and with me, my co-host, Chris Eisenhower. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Awesome. Well, welcome back. We've got a exciting topic today. We're talking about men's sexual wellness, what's really going on and what we can do about it. So I'll let you open up, you know, clinically, you know, what are you seeing out there in the field?
Okay, so men's sexual health is a big deal. One, it's a really hard topic for a lot of men to talk about.
Yeah.
They get embarrassed. There's an ego part of it. There's a lot to it.
Sure.
It's a physical condition as well as a behavioral health condition.
Yeah.
Right. There has to be, it's multifaceted. So that makes it very complicated. And again, like how do they want to address it? So usually it's been going on for a while before they come in and talk to me about it.
Right.
And it almost always comes up in passing.
Sure.
You know, right. Hey doc, blah, 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 I got this, this, and this, and there's not enough lead in my pencil anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
yep.
So there's those kind of things with it, but it's going back to what we're talking about with the testosterone, a different thing is it's way more common than anybody thinks. Like it's only me. And it's not, it's age, it's diet, it's all these things. And it is extremely prevalent. I mean, absolutely. Viagra wouldn't be doing billions of dollars a year if it wasn't.
Yep. No, 100%. I see that too. And, you know, for the patients that I kind of have that deeper relationship with, it's a huge quality of life issue, right? It can even be tied to depression or problems within the marriages and whatnot. And so, yeah, we really want to highlight and promote that thing is like, not that it's normal, but it's very common, you know, we'll say, and there are some ways to treat it. So we're going to talk through some of those today. You know, what are the options? What works? What doesn't work? What are some advanced options? And we'll even talk about what's a little bit of fun a little bit later on.
Yeah. So the, I mean, 35 to 40% of men over 40 will experience erectile dysfunction at some point in their life. Yep. Right. So, I mean, that's the bottom line. And after age 70, it's 70% of men.
Yep.
You know, like that's why the guy in the villages that can still get a hard on is the king, you know, like it's why he has all the loofahs.
Absolutely. And then, you know, from that pharmacist perspective, I think medications play a huge role in it, right? And so obviously, SSRIs, whether it be, you know, Prozac or Celexa, things of that nature, have a very, very high incident rate of sexual side effects, whether it be, just erectile dysfunction, right? We can't get an erection, or even just no interest.
Well, that's, and I think that's it, because I mean, this is a whole, we're going to do a whole other show on SSRIs, because I have vast opinions on those medications, but, yeah. So, I mean, lack of interest, right? Because it is a three-pronged thing, right? So, I mean, you have to, the medication will give you physiological capability to have arousal, but you have to have arousal to make it work, right? So if you're not turned on, you can take all the Viagra you want. It's not going to matter, right?
Yep.
So it, there's, yeah. So those, all those things have to be addressed.
Yeah, right on. So, you know, for men, I think it's a huge issue. You know, I can kind of speak personally, like sex is a really big deal to us, right? It's not the biggest deal, but it's
the biggest deal.
It is, yeah. You know, as a man, you know, what we're geared to do, what we drive to do. And so, you know, for the patients that I get to see, and I know the ones that you get to see, when we can address this properly, get rid of the stigma and address it properly, and it's bigger than just take Viagra or take this or take that, it can be a huge game changer for them. So let's get into it a little bit. Let's talk about traditional therapy. You know, what's worked for the past 25 years.
Okay. So without talking about pharmacotherapy, like traditional stuff, like, okay, I mean, you got Dr. Ruth, you got sex therapists, you got these people that talk about this stuff, right? So there's so you cannot talk about this without talking about the behavioral health, emotional, relational component of it, which can be component number one, right?
Right.
Like if you have a crippling porn addiction, hey, maybe this isn't, you know, you're going to end up with some ED side effects because you have altered the meter as to what turns you on, right? Yeah. Like you've changed the game. All right. Then you have all these medications, all right? You're on beta blockers, you're overweight, you can't work out. Like you can't, like your core is, and your pelvic floor is jacked up, right? Yep. If you have that issue, you're not going to get an erection, or you are, but it's not going to stay there, right? Because you, once the blood goes in, you can't keep it there.
Yeah.
So there's a physiological component to it. And you know, dietary nutrition, like shitty diet, alcohol, like, you know, whiskey dick's a real thing, like all of those things. And so if you take that into account, like you're still drinking like you're 25, but you don't have the testosterone of 25, you don't have the fuel to run it if you're fighting it, right? So you're going to get all of those things, right?
Yeah. Let's circle back on the porn thing again, right? So if you just think about, you know, pornography in general, you know, the technology and the internet has given individual, and I think young men in particular, the ability to, in some way, I guess, fantasize or be with hundreds of women in the same evening, right? And so when you go back to your wife, right, you have one gal, I can see how that could be less turned on than potentially what you've seen in the weird stuff and professional stuff you've seen.
And you have, and you've changed the mechanism, right? I mean, without a doubt, I mean, think about it like this. If you just looked at like the basketball free throw study about just thinking about doing free throws and then doing and then actually practicing free throws and how you got the same results pretty much, right? They were like, Stanford's like, oh shit, you can think about this and the mental practice. So if you're changing the mental game of it, you're changing it, right? And that's without getting into religious philosophical sides of it. You are changing it. This is a proven thing. Like you're absolutely an addictive, just 100%. Like anything else, right? So you have to address that. Okay, then medications, right? So there's, you know, but also you can have, you know, troubles in the relationship, all these things that we work through, and that's therapy, counseling, you know, abstinence. I mean, some of it just, you know, abstinence from porn and masturbation, well, it changes it, right? Like, it's because your body's like, okay, I want to have sex and I haven't had it in a long time and let's go, right?
Yep,
so, 100%. But that's it. So there's all of those pieces to it. Now, beta blockers, psych meds, stuff we just talked about, substances, all kinds of substances can cause it. Cigarettes,
right?
Smokers, like smoker over 35. Now you got this. It's a spaghetti noodle, man. Like they all come in. Like it's like tucking in a t-shirt because that stuff's not going to work anymore.
Yeah. So I guess if we look at it just from a lifestyle perspective, right? You know, I see too a lot of times in patients that have what we call metabolic syndrome, right? If they can just improve those parameters, they get their blood sugar under control, their blood pressure under control, clean those pipes out, right? The arteries a bit. A lot of times we'll see that function come back.
Absolutely.
In a pretty healthy way. So cool.
So then what's next off that, right? So now we're talking about, for most people, pharmacological assistance, right?
Yeah. So I know that you're a huge fan in your practice, not necessarily for erectile dysfunction, but I see you putting patients on tadalafil, multiple strings, right? 5 milligrams a day. are you seeing any clinical benefit at 5 milligrams? I know there's kind of of other benefit, right? But clinical benefit for erectile dysfunction at that 5 milligram mark?
Absolutely. Blood flow is blood flow is blood flow, right? So I mean, beyond the fact that, you know, you go on the tadalafil and you do the different combinations, the stuff that we do and the stuff that we get compounded, right?
Yep.
Blood flow doesn't just work and it doesn't just go to your genitals, right? Yeah, like you're 100%. Getting blood flow, right? So you're getting muscle mass. What do you do when you're getting muscle mass? You're naturally building testosterone. What do you, you know, so you're increasing your pelvic floor function. You're addressing the things we were just talking about. And typically, if you're going to go on this every day, you're probably doing some other stuff to get rid of your dad bod too. You're probably going to the gym. You're probably doing squats. You're probably like fixing your diet a little bit, whatever that may be. So it's not just it's kind of like the supplement things, right? Everybody's like, oh, you take protein, you're going to do, this is going to do great things for you. Well, is it that? I mean, it is. It's absolutely studied and it works and all those things. But is it the fact that you bought this protein, the catalyst for the fact that you're getting your ass up and going to the gym?
Yeah, 100%.
Right. So it car before the horse kind of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had one of your patients in the other day and he was kind of ranting and raving about the volume of work that he's able to do now on one of the compounds that included tadalafil. The volume of work that he's able to do and the recovery time is much quicker and the gains, you know, and we're not talking steroid level gains, but just somebody who's been in the gym, you know, and had slightly to no progress for the last year is all of a sudden leveling up on this.
Yeah, because compound. So just something very simple, right? When you work out, what do you get? You get muscle breakdown, you get lactic acid buildup, you get the same. Well, if you have blood flow, that's how you get that shit out of there.
Yep.
Right? You're just unclogging the pipes. Like you said, that's it.
So the interesting thing too is, you know, I work with a lot of different healthcare professionals, a lot of doctors, and I see, I don't want to say every male doctor, but I'll say 50% of male doctors right now and prescribers are putting themselves on 5 milligrams of tadalafil or some variation of it with, you know, methylene blue, but they're not always prescribing it for their patients. You know, maybe the more forward thinking ones are, but what's the deal with that? Is it a guideline issue? Is it a CYA issue? What are you seeing?
I think it's, you have two camps of providers. You have, like I said, and we've kind of talked about this in another episode, like, okay, is it CYA? Is this is what the guidelines say, this is where I'm at? Or like, what's the conversation with your patient, right? Like MAHA and RFK are changing the game in like what 100%. People what people are looking at and like what health is. And I love it. I love every bit of it.
Agreed.
And it's making people look at these other things because we're talking about functional human performance and sex is a huge part of that.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so that's where it matters. So when you're looking at these medications, well, even Viagra, right. They're like, oh, this is a blood pressure med or, you know, pulmonary hypertension. And they're like, wait, this is the best side effect ever. Let's remarket the shit out of this. Like
100%.
So that, yeah, I mean, it is those things. And I think that there's so many methylene blue, super old, right. Why is it not going to get, because it's old. You can't repatent it.
Yep.
100%. Right. That's why. Like
no money to be made.
There's no money to be made. So from the pharmaceutical companies, there's no money. So when you take these other doctors, like, why are they doing it? There's no money to be made. Hospital system's not going to do it. You know, like they're not in that business.
Yeah.
Because the hospital system is in the sick care business.
Yeah.
We are not in the business of making people healthy. Like that's a bad business model. Like I want you to be on this med for the rest of your life. Right. Like, you know, this is, again, opinions can, you know, well, maybe there's some conspiracy theory brain, right? But like, I'm of the opinion that they figured out how to cure HIV in the 90s. It took them 25 years to figure out how to make it a daily pill.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think potentially that's it. I think the other issue in the healthcare system, it's a payer driven system, which is completely ridiculous, but they pay for a certain level of treatment when you're sick. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's absolutely absurd. It drives me crazy each and every day, you know, at the pharmacy. Sure. But I think there are a lot of forward thinking prescribers and healthcare people, and going back to the whole MAHA thing, that are, they're flipping the script here.
Yeah.
Right. How do we pay for health instead of paying to not be as sick or to slow the progression of sickness over time?
Absolutely. And so
Sanjeev's just received a decent bonus. Nice work, Sanjeev. He knows he could invest all of the money, but he's seen a new watch he likes. He's not worried. With his HSBC Premier bank account and access to their financial advice service, he can get a personalized plan for the future and know how much he can spend today. Everything's Premier when your bank account is. Search HSBC Premier. HSBC UK, opening up a world of opportunity. For financial advice, you need minimum £100,000. Other criteria and fees apply. Financial and other eligibility criteria apply for HSBC Premier.
Does it ever feel like you're a marketing professional just... speaking into the void. But with LinkedIn ads, you can know you're reaching the right decision makers. A network of 130 million of them, in fact. You can even target buyers by job title, industry, company, role, seniority, skills, company revenue. And did I say job title yet? Get started today and see how you can avoid the void and reach the right buyers with LinkedIn ads. Spend £200 on your first campaign and get a £200 credit for the next one. Go to linkedin.com/lead to claim your offer. Terms and conditions apply.
I don't know. This, and coming back into it, it kind of goes back into everything we're talking about here. Like, it is lifestyle. It is these changes. It is the stuff. But then going back into the sexual wellness piece, that's a huge component of all of that, right? Like, if you are in the position where you are still able to be sexually active in your 70s, you're probably in pretty fucking good shape.
Yep.
Right. Like, yep. So there, you've addressed these other things. Yep. And when we have these guys that come in. I mean, I've had my youngest patient that's come in with erectile dysfunction is 22.
Wow. Shift worker or what's the...
Yeah, shift worker, just stress, like all these things. But, you know, I would say in his case, it's more of a psychological component, because the old school study for this was like, is it secondary or primary ED? Is like the stamp test.
Right.
Nobody knows. Nobody uses stamps anymore because email. But like, literally, you wrap stamps around it at night. Mm-hmm. And then if the stamps are broken, you get erections at night. So it's not a physiology problem because you have spontaneous erections at night. So it's a behavioral problem, right. The connection between the mental health and the arousal and the other things. So that's now primary erectile dysfunction. I mean, that almost always goes to like, you're going to go see a urologist, because if it is a functional physiological problem, there may be a surgical fix. You know, you're going to refer to urology and say, hey man, what's up? You know, fix the equipment here and
yep.
See what we can do.
Right on. All right. So traditional treatments, Viagra, right? So Sildenafil, yeah. Generically anywhere from 20 to 100 milligrams. Mm-hmm. We know it's pretty rapid acting. Mm-hmm. And then we also have the longer acting version, which is Cialis, which can be great. But, you know, I think the feedback that always comes from patients is like, when she's in the mood, right? Mm-hmm. Or I'm in the mood, we don't have time to wait a half hour mm-hmm. or an hour, right? Because potentially you've been active all day, or in a lot of cases there's been drinking going on, mm-hmm. and 45 minutes to an hour later, like, she's going to be passed out, right? And so you know, there's been more novel compounds that have been developed in sublingual forms. That's where I kind of mm-hmm. get geek out on types. But I know you have prescribed, and I'm a big fan of it. I know that it works from customer feedback, but sublingual combinations of both sildenafil mm-hmm. and tadalafil. Mm-hmm. So hitting you right away in the next 10 to 15 minutes, it's working for you, and mm-hmm. maybe even quicker.
Yeah.
But then you're getting that weekend enjoyment as well.
Absolutely. And it kind of goes back to, it's just the delivery mechanism, you know, it's pharmacokinetics. It's kind of, it's your deal. But like, one, you know, what was the rate limiting step before? It tasted like shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so now you change the trochees and different stuff, and they don't taste so bad. You know, you're like, you got people to take them.
They're moderately better.
Moderately
better. But you know what I noticed is like, the dudes don't really care.
Yeah. Guy's not going to care because he's about to get laid.
If she's in the mood and she's ready to go, like, he literally does not care. If it tasted like ass, he would just be warming up. So,
yeah. So it is that. And it's, and then you kind of go back to like, kind of back with what we're talking about with the testosterone. It's a, you know, partner driven thing. You gotta, you know, like, like all of those things, there's so much more to it than just that, but the pharmacokinetics works, and you can aid people in that. It's like, okay, we can fix this for right now, but you can also do these lifestyle changes, and you can do therapy, and you can do these things, and you make it back to the point where you don't need it.
Right.
Right. 100%. Which is the place where you know, you want to get.
Yeah.
100%, right.
100%. Let's talk about some of the more, I don't want to say novel ingredients, because they're old school ingredients, but you know, we're seeing more prescribing now of oxytocin being included in with these, you know, old, what we call PDE5 mm-hmm. inhibitors, yep. right? So you're kind of hitting it from two angles now, right? So you've got the mechanical piece, right? We're driving blood flow to the region.
And then you're addressing the arousal, which is the other side of
the mental side.
Yeah. Right? Which,
and so that has just been incredibly successful mm-hmm. from patient feedback. What have you mm-hmm. seen on your end?
Absolutely. I mean, the patients that, so I actually have oxytocin compounded into a few things
right.
because of what it does, right? So on that side, what are you doing? You're releasing oxytocin, that neurotransmitter. Like, so if you want to understand oxytocin in like 20 words or less, right? When you hold a baby, pet a puppy, whatever, that's the hormone your brain releases is oxytocin. That, oh, it's so cute. Yeah, like it is
that
like
connection.
That, yeah. It builds that bond, right? That physical bond. So when that dumps, when you get that dump, that is arousal. That is intimacy. Like, it's the intimacy hormone.
Right.
Right. So when you add that to the PD5s, you're addressing two prongs of that triad, and now you just need the connection, right? Like you have it. So now when you have the, so then if you develop the emotional connection, you've addressed all of the things that lead into that. And that gives you, that makes it better. So then, and a lot of the female partners like it too, because they're like, oh, he's not cuddly. He's not this, right. It's actually kind of hijacking the brain into the other side of it. Right. Like it's not so like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's like, oh, you know, there's a little more romance. It's almost like a romance stimulator.
I agree. Right. Love potion. Number 9. Yeah. And that feedback I have gotten from the female patients as well. And ironically, you know, more than ever, we could talk about oxytocin and females as a whole nother episode. Mm-hmm. But ironically, like I don't ever recommend that you share medication. I know the record is saying that, but women will also take some portion of these sublinguals, right? Whether it be a quarter or a half of what their male partner is taking. And they're also developing that same emotional connection. And there is a level of engorgement, right? Mm-hmm. Hypersensitivity with it. So we definitely don't recommend that. I mean, everybody should see their own individual doctor or see the doctor separately.
Do not share your drugs.
Yeah, 100%. pro tip of the day. But it just seems like it's the next level, mm-hmm, when it comes to sexual wellness, when you do have to utilize that medication component.
It is. And then we talk about that, like, you know, well, testosterone is your horny hormone, right? Right. Like it is the thing, like it makes women horny too, right? Yeah, women with higher testosterone levels have higher libidos. Right. Like that, you know, there's all of the things that go into that. So you address it from both sides. And then when you address the chemical, you're addressing the behavioral and the chemical and the physiological and all the things, you can gain a lot of those things back. And it definitely has seen it improve a lot of patients. It's improved their sex lives, their relationships, and it's multifaceted. It's not just for that, you know.
And we're seeing the rise of testosterone in women, anywhere from, you know, 1 to 5 milligrams a day, mm-hmm, transdermal. Do you think that's the primary, like driving libido in women is the primary reason that people are prescribing testosterone to women? Is it just one of the many things?
Like, it's definitely multifaceted. I mean, you can use hormone balancing in women as an antidepressant. I mean, testosterone has an antidepressant. I mean, you know, like, balanced hormones in a woman are like the best thing for her. Like it's a game changer, right? Because a woman goes through her life and you've got a menstrual cycle that's making you go up and down, and you know, you're getting your estrogen, your progesterone, your testosterone, your all these things going just in waves, which is, you know, a hormone cycle.
Yep.
But a post menopausal woman that you balance her hormones out, and she's, oh man, they're loving life.
Yeah.
Like they feel like a dude.
Yeah, it's really weird. I have no idea what patients are talking about, but you know, if guys come to me and say, hey, she wants it 4, 5, 6 times a week, I'm like, oh, you know, poor baby.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so sad for you.
Yeah.
But it's true. If you can get a woman balanced properly, you can really drive that sexual desire, which can be amazing for men too.
Yeah. It's a two-sided coin, right? Let's see why it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Go for it.
All right. So as far as the stuff like the combo supports, and like, we'll let you talk kind of the pharmacokinetics, because, you know, like Viagra's short acting, the Cialis was long acting, and like where these different things dive in on the pharmacokinetics hormonal side, and like what, you know, what are they doing exactly?
Yeah. So again, I think it goes back to the machinery, right? Mm-hmm. Making sure that the blood vessels are dilated. They're not completely selective for, you know, mm-hmm, the male genital area, right? But they certainly exert their effect there. They're going to cause a dilation and the physical erection. But then again, back to the next level, the people that are really enjoying their sexual experience, if you would, I think it's that oxytocin that's just blowing their mind from a cuddly love perspective. So hitting that two-pronged approach there. You know, I think getting the dose right is going to take a lot of testing and experimenting, mm-hmm, right? Because we certainly have patients who start off a little bit too high and they experience stuffy nose, mm-hmm, backache, things of that nature. They obviously were able to perform the act and they got that going on for them, but they're stuffy nose for the rest of the weekend. And so, you know, typically your compounding pharmacy can adjust the dose to whatever you need. And you also see on a lot of the sublingual tablets, we quarter them, right? Mm-hmm. So you can take a quarter of it, you can, mm-hmm, take a half of it, and very easily titrate that dose to the desired effect. And as you always say, right, we want the minimum effective dose. to get the benefit and the outcome you're looking for.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, kind of goes with everything. I mean, how many patients on anybody that you see or anybody comes in the pharmacy, and I see it all the time, almost like getting patients over-medicated, or you've got contradicting drugs because they're going to so many different doctors for so many things that no one's gone back and deconflicted.
Right.
Whatever. 100%. Right. So like different times. So if you got two doctors on two different EMRs, they're not deconflicting, right? Like they're not, the patient forgets to tell you they're on XYZ, or two doctors have prescribed the same medication. So they're doubling up. I mean, and you know, pharmacists are kind of get the catch-all bucket for that. And then
but more than ever, people are using multiple pharmacies, right?
Yeah.
Because a discount code at Walmart will work for a certain price and another one at Walgreens. And then when they have like a real question or they need something custom, they come to a guy like me, right? We just really don't have any idea what they're on from that perspective. And then going back to the payer issue, you know, and I know you face this pressure. You have a deep level of care for your patients. I don't think you care about the money as much, but these big hospital systems and whatnot, they're cranking patients. I know endocrinologists that'll see 27 patients in a day. You know, they don't have time to deconflict medication issues or deal with anything other than the primary thing that they're there to treat, right?
Right. And that's one of the things that I think where our relationship is developed and we're doing is going to be such a great thing is we are building that almost like small town doctor feel back into, you know, like, it's like, oh, you can go see them and we can talk and we can, there's a great relationship where it's like, hey, you know, even the stuff like, I mean, shoot, just damn stupid stuff where I've clicked a box and you're like, I don't think you meant to prescribe this guy this. You're like, oh, good catch. Thank you.
Yeah. 100%.
So like it works. And so for all of our patients, I mean, what we're talking about here is like your sexual health matters. It matters as your physical health. It matters for your mental health. And like, just, when you come in, just tell us what's up. Like we will help you, you know?
100%. I think if there's any key takeaway from this, like it is common. There are healthcare providers that can help you. Don't keep it to yourself.
Yeah. Cause we can help you. It's not embarrassing. It's somebody with erectile dysfunction is probably one of the least embarrassing things that I see throughout the day when people come in and they're like, I got this going on. So just talk to us, tell us the meds you're on, tell us, again, going back to the thing where honestly, like if you got a cocaine habit, tell us, you know, like we need to know because some of this stuff you shouldn't go on or we need to balance it out. So, I mean, there are things where you have to think of your doctor and pharmacist and you have to be honest with us because it's for your safety.
Yep.
And it matters.
And the information is completely confidential. So, you know, we may talk about these topics broadly, right? But anything you share with your healthcare provider is completely, completely confidential. And there might be a few caveats to that. Yeah. I don't know what they might be if
around. You have reporting criteria for suicide, homicide, different, you know, danger, immediate danger to someone or yourself. But you do have those, some leeway there, but it's very confidential. HIPAA protects things. And it matters because you want to build that trust. I mean, that's the whole point, right?
100% agree. I know we're going to do an episode on women's sexual wellness. We're going to get somebody who's more
a woman
than us to talk about that. But you know, we'll touch just briefly. I think a really popular product, and the men like it as much as the women, is this product called Scream Cream, right? And so it's a combination. There's a few different formulas out there, but combination of essentially a cream that has Viagra in it, arginine to increase nitric oxide and blood flow, and theophylline. And it's really, it's for women, right? It's an engorgement agent. It's going to make them feel more sensitized and essentially have an orgasm easier, which the only reason I bring it up in this men's sexual wellness podcast is like, as men, what do we want? We want to feel really good about the job that we got done, right?
And I did it.
I did it and got a little release myself. So a very popular formula, mixed results, just mixed results. You know, I'll have women that will order it time and time and time and time again.
It goes back to the same thing. It with women, it's the same thing. It's still a three pronged thing. So, I mean, if you, it doesn't matter if it's not there, it's not, you know, like setting all those things, all of those things matter. Cause sex itself is like, it's mechanical, it's animalistic. Everything on the planet does it. But for human beings, it is a much more behavioral health driven issue.
Yeah.
And when you have to address it as such, I mean, from the behavioral health, spiritual, whatever, wherever you go down that road with it, it's a thing, right? Whereas, so we are human animals, but we have there are other factors that extenuate into this. And that's what all of that needs to be addressed. So I don't know. You know, like, maybe we kind of leave it at that. And it's a hard topic, not to, but can be a hard topic. But so when you're there, just be honest with your docs. If you're one of our patients, come see us. We'll talk to you. If you have questions about this, again, you can hit us up in the chat. You can hit us up in our DMs. Like, we will answer your questions. I think that closes out episode two of the Dose Adjustment.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, again, my name is Amir. This is Chris. If you have questions, reach out to us. And thank you for listening today.
The information provided in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only, and it does not establish a physician-patient or pharmacist-patient relationship. The opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are their own and do not constitute medical advice. This content is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Always consult with a licensed healthcare provider in your area before making any changes to your personal healthcare regimen or acting on any medical information shared in this podcast.